Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Hey, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, right at the beginning of the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Our Gemara will begin to discuss how do we know that when the Torah tells us that we're supposed to use a pre-Eitz Hadar, it means an Esrik. And as we've already quoted the Rambam says, of course, there was a Messiah, there's a tradition by Klal Yisrael from the times of Yeshua ben Nun that the Esrig is the pre-Eitz Hadar. And that's the reason we take the Esrig. However, the Gemara is trying to perhaps prove from the Psukim that describe the pre-Eitz Hadar that it means the Esrig fruit. Tan Rabban, pre-Eitz Hadar. When the Torah speaks about pre-Eitz Hadar, it should be a fruit that ate shetam eitzoy uperi yeshava, that the fruit and the bark, the tree from which it grows, have the same taste. And the esrik, which is the rind of the esrik, which is the main part of the fruit, has a bitter taste, which is similar to the taste of the tree itself. Havi Omer, that's how we know that the pre-Eitz Hadar is the Esrik. And as the Kappas Tamarim explains, the Torah should have said pre-Hadar, or the Torah should have said pre-Me'Eitz Hadar. The fact that the Torah uses this type of terminology of pre-Eitz Hadar leads us to explain that we need something Shetam Eitzoy Yipiri Yashava, which is the Esrik. Ask the Gemara, there's another fruit that has the same taste as the tree, Vema Pilpulin. And Pilpulin here, the Mepharshim explained, doesn't mean pepper, the vegetable. It means pepper, the spice, peppercorns. Perhaps we should use that as the pre-Eitz Hadar. So as the Rishonim explain, certainly, the Pnei Yeshua quotes them, certainly the Gemara really didn't assume that Pilpulin should be the pre-Eitz Hadar. Pilpulin is not Hadar, it's not beautiful, and we just explained that that's a requirement for the Esrig. But the Gemara is trying to prove in another way that the Pilpulin would not be the fruit used for an Esrig. The Mepharshim ask, didn't we learn that the Hadas is something that eats Upiryo Shava? So why isn't the Hadasim, perhaps the berries that we discussed earlier in the Perek, that grow on the Hadasim, perhaps that's the fruit, that's the pre-Eitz Hadar? So the answer, if that's what the Torah would have meant with the pre-Eitz Hadar, then the Torah, when describing the Hadasim, should have said Anaf Eitz Avos Upiryoi, and that would have perfectly described those berries. The fact that the Torah speaks about the Esrik separately, pre-Eitz Hadar, it's obvious that it's not the berries that grow on the Hadas branch. The Marei Masada asks that the Gemara in many places says that Zayis, the olive, is a tree, is a fruit which tam eitzoy upiri yashava. So perhaps the Torah meant the olive as being the pre-Eitz Hadar. So Marei Masada explains, we find that the Torah uses the word zayis, the word olive, in a number of occasions. If what the Torah meant when it said pre-Eitz Hadar was an olive, so the Torah should have said zayis. The Torah uses that word in many places. The fact that the Torah doesn't use the word zayis is an indication that that is not what the Torah meant as one of the meaning. And the Mepharshim explain what is this concept of pre-shetam eitzoy pri yeshava, what makes it so important. So they explain that Rashi says in Parshas Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, wanted that the fruit and the tree from which the fruit grows should be the same taste. But the trees, so to speak, did not follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. the Taitse is pre, that the fruit and the tree do not have the same taste. What fruit, which tree did follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original command? The Esrog, that ate Upiria Shava. That's why that's what should be used for the Dalamina. So Gemara is asking, perhaps it should be the peppercorns. So how do we know, ask the Gemara, that a peppercorn is considered a fruit? Says the Gemara Ketanya, as we learned in a Braisa. Hai Ramei Oimer. Mashem Shenemar, the Pasuk in this telling us the halacha, that any fruit that grows from a tree in its first 3 years is arla, may not be eaten. So the Pasuk said, Natatim Kol Eitz, when you plant any tree. And the Pasuk continues, in calling it Eitz Machel. So ask the Braisa, any idea of Eitz Machel, it's obviously a tree that gives food. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any discussion if you could eat it or not. Ma tam alayim Eitz Machel, why did the Torah use those words? To teach us Eitz, that the dinim of Arla apply to a fruit, shetam Eitzoy Upiria Shava, a tree whose wood and fruit taste the same. What is that? Hava'oim ezapelplin, that's referring to the pepper tree. For as Rashi explained, we might have thought that they should not be subject to the halachas of Arla, since they grow on a low bush, and therefore may be considered a vegetable, not a fruit. Tosfos explains, since the peppercorns are not eaten, just as they're picked off the tree, rather they're left to dry and then used as a spice. So perhaps I would think that it's not considered a fruit subject to the dinim of Arla. Teaches us the pasuk, Lam dechosh apaplan chayovim ba'arla. Furthermore, enet Yisrael chaser klum, Yisrael is not missing anything. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, in describing Eretz Yisrael, lechsechse kolba, there's nothing missing in Eretz Yisrael. And as the Tapas Tamarim explains the Gemara has to first tell us that Eretz Yisrael, lechsechse kolba, is not missing anything. Because if there's a fruit that doesn't grow in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps there's no proof that the poplin are chayiv in Arla, because there are no poplin at Yisrael. So says the Pasuk Lo'sechsa Kalba, that everything is in at Yisrael, including the poplin. Once it's in at Yisrael, we say that the halachas of Arla apply to it. So now the Gemara is asking, perhaps that's what should be used as the pre-Eitz Hadar. Says the Gemara, Hasam Shem Dolayavsha, it's impossible to use the poplin. Because Heichi Nevet, exactly how should we do the mitzvah? Ninkit chada, should we just take one pepper? It wouldn't be obvious. And the Torah says lakachtim, it should be obvious that you took. Ninkit treyot talasa, on the other hand, take two or three kernels. Pri echad amrechmana, the Torah said take one fruit, v'loishnayim v'shloish peiris, not two or three. Hilkach loy efshir. Therefore, it's impossible, and that's why peppercorns are eliminated as possibility of being the pre-Eitz Hadar. The Asfin Daraisa, based on this Gemara, says an interesting psak. He says, let's say someone has two esrogim. One is a kosher esrog, and one is a posel esrog. And they got mixed up. We don't know which is the kosher and which is the posel. So he says, of course, what you should do is take both esrogim. And Mimonov Shach, you will be Mekayim the Mitzvah. However, says the Asfin Daraisa, don't take them both at the same time. Because our Gemara just taught us that it has to be noticeable. And therefore, if you're going to take both, it's not a separate noticeable Lekicha. However, the Mefarshim disagree with the Asfin Daraisa, and they say there's a fundamental difference between the situation Asfin Daraisa is discussing and our Gemara situation. In our Gemara, taking one peppercorn is not discernible, and therefore is not acceptable. By an esrog, taking an individual esrog is certainly noticeable. So once we're dealing with a fruit that it's noticeable that you're taking it separately, there perhaps you may even be allowed to take more than one of those fruits at the same time. Rabbi Omer, optically Hadar, the way to understand what the pre-Eitz Hadar means is by not pronouncing the word as Hadar, El Hadir. It should be like a corral where animals are kept. Mad deer, just in such a corral, there are all different types, large and small, healthy and unhealthy animal. Hakanami, this tree, yeshba gedolim v'ktanim, large and small, tamimim ba'almumim, which is the way esroigim are. They're all different types. Ask the Gemara, ota shaperis, lesbu gedolim v'ktanim, tamimim ba'almumim, and by other fruits we don't have this phenomena, that all different types of fruit, sizes and quality, elochikama. And shaboyim k'tanim, adayim gedolim k'yom. The esrig is unique, that the esrig can remain on its tree for a number of years. So esrig is the kind of a tree that even the new fruits develop, the old ones are still there. And Rav Avuah along the same line says, Rav Avuah Amar, Al Tikri Hadar Al Hador, something that dwells. Dovar, the fruit that should be used for the esrig, for the pre-Eitz Hadar, is a fruit shadar bilana mishana lishana, that goes from year to year. It can remain on the tree for a number of years. And the Kavanah Adar explains this very beautifully. He says, the Pasuk says, v'hadarta pnei zaken. One has to respect an older person. And the Gemara Masechet Kedushin explains why. The kama partka over Allahu Saba. This older gentleman, this older person, experienced a lot of different things in his life, and that's why he deserves respect. Says the Kavanah Adar. V'hadarta pnei zaken. We see that the word hadar is applied by something that is experienced, by something that's gone through life. Similarly, the esrig, which our Gemara just explained, can remain on the tree for a number of years, has a lot of experience. What is hadar? What is beautiful? Something that has that experience. And that's why the esrig is the most appropriate fruit to be used for the dalaminim. Benazei amer, al tekri hadar, ele idur. It means water. Shekem b'loshin yavani, karen l'mayim idur. In Greek, water is called idur. And from here, the Mepharshim point out that we see that all languages were included in the Torah, not just Loshin Kodesh. Veizi shigol ha-kamayim, which fruit needs a lot of water? Rainwater itself will not make the fruit grow adequately. Havoyim esrig, esrig needs a lot of water. The Mepharshim discuss that now that our Gemara has described various characteristics that make the esrig into being the esrig, so the question is, if there's an esrig which is a murkiv, that a different fruit or a branch of a different fruit was grafted into the esrig tree, perhaps it should be kosher for the dalaminim as long as it carries the characteristics mentioned in our sugya. So actually the Panim Iris uses this concept and to say that perhaps a murkav should be a kosher esrog. However, the Ramah vehemently argues, and he says that even though the Gemara gave us now different characteristics of what is considered pre-Eitz Hadar, once the Gemara identified it as an esrog, then that's the only thing that's kosher to be used, nothing else. And Ritva, based on what we explained from the Rambam at the beginning of the shir, it says again, because really we know that the pre-Eitz Hadar is the esrig, because that's the Messiah that we have from the times of Yeshua. The Gemara is just backing up by saying that's shot in the pasuk, but that isn't the specific reason why the esrig should be used. The Maram Al-Sheikh says that a murkav should not be used because it's an esrog achaser. We just learned in the Mishnah that an esrog that's missing part of the esrog is not kosher. And here in this esrog is not, if you grafted an esrog and a lemon, it's partially lemon, it's not a whole esrog. The Levush explains that the reason a murkav should not be used is because a murkav, an aveir was done, it's usur to graft two different fruits together, and since an aveir was done with this, it should not be used for dvar mitzvah. The mefarshim that disagree with Lavosh say that that's only a din by karbonis, it's not a din by other divrei mitzvah. The Chasam Sofer points out that there are a number of simonim, the number of characteristics, how to tell if an esrig is a murkav or not. For example, in a esrig, the ukitz on the bottom of the esrig goes into the cavity of the esrig, not by a different fruit. Esrig has bumps around it, lemon doesn't. A esrig has a thick rind, a murkav doesn't. In an esrig, the seeds stand vertically. In a murkav, the seeds stand horizontally. However, says the Chasam Sofer, relying on simonim, that if you'll have a fruit that has all of the simonim that seem to indicate that it's a kosher esrig, is not enough, especially on the first day, says the Chasam Sofer, to use something as an esrig. What you have to use as an esrig is something that we have a hechsher, that we have a mesira, that this fruit truly grew from a pure esrig tree. However, I saw that the Avni Nezer discusses what will be the halacha if you'll have a sfek sfeika on a fruit. What will be the sfek sfeika? You have an esrig, and it's a suffik if it's murkav or not. And even if it is murkav, perhaps, as we just quoted the Panim Iris, you're allowed to use a murkav for the Dalaminim. So would you be allowed to use such a esrig for the Dalaminim? So Rav Nezer says that certainly it would not be acceptable. And he explains, when can we use the concept of Svek Sveka? We can use the concept of Svek Sveka by Isser. That means, let's say we have a piece of meat, and we don't know if it's kosher or not kosher. So Svek Sveka to tell us that we're allowed to eat that piece of meat. But to rely on us to say Svek Sveka and say that such an item can be used for dvar mitzvah, that certainly we cannot rely on a sex faker for. The Mishnah said, "Shel asher v'shel ir nidachas." The esrog from an asher or nidachas is possible. My tama, what's the reason that such an esrog is possible? Kivin del srefakoi, since this esrog has to be burnt, ksusei mechti shiuri. So it does. It's considered as if it doesn't have the shear, and anything that doesn't have the shear is possible. The Ravid has a different gears in our Gemara. He says the reason that the esrog of a iron nidachas on a sher may not be used is because it's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, and therefore should not be used. However, most Rishonim disagree with the Ravid, because as we've explained, the aveira did not cause the mitzvah, and in such a situation we do not say the concept of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Then we learned in the Mishnah, shall arla posel. The esrog of arla is posel. So as the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara now is going to explain why the esrig of arla is possible. Truthfully, we don't have to give a reason, because Tosfos explains the reason that we just explained, that anything that's supposed to be burnt, we have the concept of ketusei mechdash shiurei, applies to an esrig of arla also. The reasons the Gemara are going to give why arla possible, as the Gemara will teach us, are relevant to other situations that are not ketusei mechdash shiurei. So what's the reason? My tama, why can't an esrog of arla be used? Pligi bar avchia bar oven, rav asi. Charam alfi shein bar heta achila, you're not allowed to eat arla. V'charam alfi shein bar demamen, it has no value because it has to be discarded. Mefarshim ask, if the halacha is, as we will now learn, that the only fruit that could be used for an esrog is a fruit that's edible, so the Gemara is going to teach us that, let's say someone doesn't own his own esrog, how could he be mekayim the mitzvah? There's a halacha of lechem. So the halacha is that he takes an esrog for someone else, a matana manas lachzer. He takes it as a gift with the condition that he will return that esrog to the owner. Now, and if, and as the halacha goes, if he doesn't return the esrig, then retroactively he was never mekayim the mitzvah. Ask the mefarshim. So I have to return this esrig, so I'm not allowed to eat it. So if I'm not allowed to eat it, how could I be mekayim the mitzvah with such an esrig? So mefarshim answer: I may not be allowed to eat the esrig, but the owner is allowed to eat the esrig, and that's why it's considered as a heter achila. Other mefarshim answer that in a matan, in an esrig that I don't own, that I only received as a matanam nas lahachser, the reason I'm not allowed to eat it is not because there's anything inherently problematic with this esrig. It's only a side problem that the owners don't want to let me eat it. However, something which is iser, it's not a side problem, it's inherent to the esrig itself, and therefore it may not be eaten. The Rav Yitzchak Chanan and the Stei Chemed discussed the Shaila regarding an esrig that was left under the under a bed. That the halach is that food that's left under the bed may not be eaten. So what would be the halach if there was an esrig under, left under a bed? May one eat such an esrig or not? Rav Yitzchak Chanan and the Stei Chemed both say that you're allowed to eat such an esrig. Shema mitzvah lo yeda davara. Somebody that's doing a mitzvah who doesn't have to worry about mazikim. Rav Yitzchak Chanan has a proof from what may or may not be used on the Mizbeach, a little too long to go into it, and therefore they paskin that one may use such an esrig. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses an interesting shaila. He says many times, again specifically, since as we're learning, the esrig is such a delicate fruit, they disinfect and they spray the esrig with various chemicals to keep it in shape and keep it clean. But those chemicals may be poison. So if they're poison, then the esrig is not an edible esrig. And as we're learning now, if it's not an edible esrig, it should not be used. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that even though when the chemicals are applied to the esrig cannot be eaten. These may be poisonous chemicals. But ultimately, these chemicals evaporate. And then the esrig could be eaten. And that's why it's considered that it's an esrig that has a heter achila. Says the Gemara, Kusal Kedaitin, the Bnei Yeshiva thought, the man the boy heter achila le boy din mamen, the man the omen that says that the requirement for an esrig is that it's it has to be edible, doesn't have this requirement that it should have value. Or man the boy din mamen, and the man the omen that says it has to have value, le boy heter achila, doesn't need that it should be edible. Asking that the Gemara, tonight we learned in our Mishnah, so Truma Tameya, the esrig that comes from Truma Tameya is Psula. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Mandam Lefishayim Ba'at Achila, according to the Mandam that says the esrig has to be edible, that's why I could understand why Truma Tameya cannot be a kosher esrig shopper, because no one's allowed to eat Truma Tameya. El Mandam Lefishayim Ba'at the moment that the requirement is that it should have value, Hare Masikatach Amai, why is an esrig of Truma Tamei Apostle, Hare Masiko Tach Tavshiloi, it could be used as fuel to cook food with, so it has value. So why does our Mishnah say that it's Apostle Esrig? Answers the Gemara, Ella Beheter Achila, regarding that the Esrig must be edible, be allowed to be eaten, Kulam Le Pliga Debinin, everybody agrees that it's that's a requirement. Ki Pligi, their argument is B'din Mamun. Masava, one man dama holds, het to bechila be'inan, we need that the esrog should be allowed to be eaten. However, din mamun lo be'inan, there is no requirement that it have value. Or masava, another man dama holds, that besides that it has to be allowed to be eaten, din mamun nam be'inan, we also have to have that it should have value. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what is the practical nafgamina between these two approach? Says the Gemara, Nafkamina is going to be Ikabinai Maisa Sheni Shibushlaim. As we know, the Aloch is that Maisa Sheni had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. The Gemara has a machloikis many times in Shas between Rameyer and the Chachamim. What is the mechanics of Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim? Rameyer holds that Maisa Sheni is really Mom Gavoya. It really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He lets us eat it, provided that we eat it exclusively in Yerushalayim. That's how Ramei learns. The Rabbanan hold that Ma'is Hasheni is Mamon Bailam. It belongs to the owners. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this fruit you have to eat specifically in Yerushalayim. So explains the Gemara. That will be the nafkamina in these two approaches. A Levid Rameya, a point Rameya, who holds that Ma'is Hasheni is Mamon Gevayim. Lamandam lefishein bar hetachila. According to Mandam, that the requirement of an esrig is that it should be allowed to be eaten. Hareyesh bar hetachila. Ma'is Hasheni is allowed to be eaten, and therefore would be a kosher esrig. However, lamandam lefishein bar demamun. According to Mandam, that it has to have value. It has to be that your money. Ma'is Hasheni mam gavayahu. According to Rav Meir, Ma'is Hasheni is mam gavayah, and therefore it may not be used as an esrig. So the Gemara had quoted that there's a machloikus Rav Asi and Rav Chia Bar Avin, what the requirements of Rav Asi are, but the Gemara did not identify, was not able to identify who holds what. Says the Gemara to Stayim, I'll prove to you that it's Rav Asi the Omer, Lefisha Einbay the Mammon. It's Rav Asi that requires that there should be a monetary value to the owner in the esrik. Dom Rav Asi, Esrug Shemaisa Shani, and Esrug Maisa Shani, Ludivere Mayor, a contra may that holds the Maisa Shani. As Mamun Gavaya, Ain Adam Yoitzabai Chile Chavasa Beyontif. One cannot be Makayim the mitzvah with it on Yontif. To Stayim, so it's a proof. Why? Because it's not my Mamun, it's Mamun Gavaya. To Stayim, so it's a proof that Rav Asi is the man Domin that holds that it has to have a din Mamun. Gufa, continues the Gemara, Amr of Asi, Esrug Shemaisa Shani, one can't use it on Yontif to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. According to Chachamim, Adam Yotzba Yidei Chavasa B'Yontif, it may be used. Matzah Shemaisa Sheni, same thing regarding Matzah. L'divre Ameya, Ein Adam Yotzba Yidei Chavasa B'Pesach, it's not to be used because it's not yours, it's Mamun Gevaya. L'divre Chachamim, Adam Yotzba Yidei Chavasa B'Pesach, you can use such Matzah to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Achilas Matzah on Pesach. Issa Shemaisa Sheni. If you have a dough made out of produce that's Maisa Sheni, L'divra Meya, Peturim and Achala. According to Meya, there's no chiv to take Chala from it. Chala has to be removed from every dough, but it's only dough that's yours. According to Meya, this is not your dough, it's Mamun Gevaya. L'divra Chachamim, Chayavas Pechala. Ask the Gemara, Maschla Rapapa, Bishlama Issa, regarding dough, Ksiv Reishis Ari Soiseichem. That the chiyuv to take challah is only from dough which you own. Esrog nami, by esrog also. The pasuk says, k'siv lachem, mishal lachem. You have to owe the esrog. Ela matzah. Matzah, why is there a problem with ma'is sheni matzah? Mi k'siv matzaschem. Does the Torah use the word matzaschem? That it would indicate that you have to own the matzah. Omer Rabba Bashmul, Vitamer of Yamri Bashalmya, Ashya Lechem Lechem. We learn Exereshava the word Lechem. Ksiv Hacha, it says regarding the Matzah, Lechem Aini. The Ksiv Hasam, it says regarding Tchala, Vahaya Bachalchem Lechem Aretz, Mala Halon. Just like Barachiv Chala, we just finished explaining, Mishalachem, Veloy Shalmeiser, it has to be your dough for their obligation to take off Chala. Afkan, Mishalachem, it has to be your dough that you should be to use for matzah, v'loy mishal meiser, not dough which you don't own. And therefore, the Sfas Emes says that if one has guest by his table, by his seder table, he should be careful that he should be makna. He should transfer ownership of that matzah to the guest, because the Gemara here is teaching us that you have to own the matzah with which you're going to be mekayim mitzvahs achilas matzah. So the Gemara says, perhaps there's a proof to Rav Asi's statement from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Issa Shemaisa Sheni, Turim and Achala. According to Rav Meir, Issa of Maisa Sheni, a dough of Maisa Sheni is part of Achala, because it's Mamun Gevaya. It's not my dough, so I have no Chiyav Chala. The Chom Maimrim, Chayav is Bechala, it is Chayav Bechala. Ask the Gemara, Lame Masile, is this only a corroboration, only support? It's exactly what Rav Asi said. Why is the Gemara saying it's only perhaps a support? Says the Gemara, Ella, what The Braisa regarding Chala is very explicit. The question is, do we say Midaba Hapligi? Do we say that just like we see clearly the Ramei and the Chacham argue regarding Chala, Bahad Nami Pligi, will say that they'll also argue regarding an Esrig or regarding Matzah, Adil Mashani Isa, or perhaps their argument is only relevant by Chala, the Amakra, since the Torah says Arisoy Seichem, Arisoy Seichem, Trey Zimni, since the Torah says the words Arisoy Seichem twice, so the Torah went out of its way to teach us that to be chayiv and chala, you have to own the dough. That's why it's a chayiv chala. However, by esrig, where the Torah only uses the word lachem, so there isn't such a strong indication that you have to own the esrig, and therefore perhaps esrig and ma'aser sheni, even Ramei would agree you can mekayim the mitzvah. What would be the status of matzah? So the machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that the chiyuv that you should own the matzah we learn from a gzeirah shav from challah. So whatever is the din by challah will automatically be the same din by matzah. However, other rishonim say that even though there is a gzeirah shav which compares matzah to challah, at the end of the day, the Torah doesn't say the word matzaschem twice. And therefore, for perhaps only where the Torah uses the word matzas arisay seichem and uses it twice, that's where there's a strong requirement that it be only yours. Anywhere else, that anything else may still fall under that that condition, and you may be, even Ramei would hold, be able to use matzah ma'aser sheni. The Rashbam in Masechet Bava Basra points out that even though the Gemara here is teaching us and sort of comparing Esrig to Chala and saying just like by Chala you have to own the dough, by Esrig you have to own the Esrig, the comparison is not really halachically exact, because he explains the word the Torah uses by Esrig to prove that you have to own the Esrig is Lachem. The word the Torah uses by Chala is Arisoy Seichem. What's the difference? He says, what would be the halacha if two Jews owned a dough together? So that's a risoy seichem. It falls under the category of risoy seichem, and there would be a chiv to take off challah. However, if two Jews own an esrig together, that's not called lechem. Lechem means that everybody should have their own esrig, and if two people own an esrig in partnership, before each one wants to be mekayim the mitzvah, he has to transfer his ownership to his partner, and therefore the halachas are not actually identical. We learned in the Mishnah, shal truma tameya, an esrig from truma tameya is pasul. Why? The less by hatachila, you're not allowed to eat it. And as we've learned, the esrig has to be something which is edible. The Mishnah taught us, v'shal truma tahara layito. You should not l'chatchila use an esrig of truma tahara. Says the Gemara, pligibar Rav Ami Rav Asi. Does machloikis Rav Ami Rav Asi into why? Chad Amar, one man d'Amar says, umneshe machshira. We know that a fruit, or any food actually, cannot be makabel tuma until it becomes wet. Explain Rashi and Tosfos. Traditionally, the lulavim were kept in a basin of water to stay fresh. And now, if we're going to put the esrig next to the lulav, we're going to make the esrig mukshel kabel tuma. It's going to become susceptible to tuma. And we're not allowed to cause something that's a truma to become susceptible to truma. That's machshira. Chanam av neshe mafsida, by putting the esrig next to the lulav, you ruin it, and it's not good, and you're not allowed to use such a fruit for a mitzvah. The Mefarshim point out, according to Mand Omer av neshe mafshira, there is a very interesting halacha. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rakanti. The Rakanti says that it was the night of Sukkos, and he had a guest whose name was Rabbi Yitzchak an Ashkenazi, who he had a dream that this guest was writing the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but as he was writing the Shem Hashem, he was writing Yud Kei Vav, and then he was leaving a space when he wrote the next hey, which of course is unacceptable, and he did not understand why this person was doing this. The next morning when they went to shul and they took the Dalaminim, he saw how this person keeps the Esrig separate from the Luluf. And now he understood the Dalaminim should be kept together. And actually there's a proof to that Rikanti from our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that we're concerned that the Luluf will be Machshir the Esrig. But if the Esrig doesn't have to be put next to the Luluf, next to the wet Luluf, why are we concerned? It must be that they're supposed to be kept next to each other, and that's why it's going to become Mukhshar. The Mefarshim point out furthermore, here we see that we have to be careful that the something which is Meiser, something which is Truma, I'm sorry, should not become Mukhshar, should not become susceptible to Tuma. Because we're ruining it. And then we sent the concept of Meshem Afsida, we're ruining it. As the Sefer Masas HaMelech, there's halacha that we're not allowed to ruin Perish Shvius. So the question is, why could one use an Esrig that is a Shemitah Esrig? Why aren't we concerned with Meshem Afsida that is ruining the Esrig? And we're learning now that that's why you shouldn't use an Esrig of Truma. Answer the Masas HaMelech, there's a difference in the way the Torah talks about the halacha by Shemitah versus what the Torah says by Truma. By Truma, the Torah uses the words es mishmeres trumasi. We have the obligation to guard the Esrig. It shouldn't become Tamei, it shouldn't get ruined. The Torah doesn't use such a strong terminology by Shemitah. It says la'achloiv la'lahefsid, eat it, don't ruin it. But since the Torah doesn't use that strong terminology, the halachas are not identical, and that's why an Esrig or Shemitah may be used. The Mefarshim ask that in our Gemara, the person doesn't want the Esrig to get wet. He wants the Luluf to be wet, and therefore the Esrig gets wet. And the halacha is that for something to be considered Mukhshar, it has to be that the person, the owner, was satisfied with the water coming onto the item that got, on the food item that got wet. So why is it considered mukhshar even if it gets wet from the luluf? So Farshim explained that since the person here wanted the luluf to get wet, even though he wasn't interested in the esrig getting wet, since part of what he wanted is being accomplished, that's considered that he wanted wetness here. Ask the Gemara, my Benai, what's the difference between these two approaches? So, as Taisa says, the Gemara said a very simple nafkamina. Let's say you have an esrig which is already mukhshar lekabel tuma. According to the Man D'Amrim, you have a problem of hechshar, doesn't exist. According to the other Man D'Amrim, it still does. So why doesn't the Gemara give that nafkamina, says Taisa? However, the Noi D'Behuda says that the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam will hold that even an esrig of truma, tahira, that's already mukhshar, should not be used. So, as a gezeira, one will have an esrig which is not mukhshar. My benayu, kigoyin shikar l'shem, chut mikiplos hechitzoyne. Somebody said that this esrig is truma besides the outer peel. L'mandam neish mechshiro, koin l'mandam that's concerned that you're in machshir this esrig l'kabal toma ikka. If that concern exists, even if the outer part is not truma. L'mandam neish mechshiro, we're worried that it's going to get ruined by being next to the lulav, leka, that concern doesn't exist here because the outer part is not truma, so we don't have to worry about it getting ruined. V'mnotel, but we learned in the Mishnah of one did use such an esrig, truma tayr, it's ksheira. According to Mand Omer, that the concern is that it's not edible. It's certainly edible. The Koyana may eat it. Demamin has value. Like Rashi explains, it has value even for Yisrael because he could give it to eat to his grandson who's a Koyan, or he could sell it with the Tavis Hanor. Shaldamai, we learned in the Mishnah that the esrig of the Mai may not be used. It's machlok b'sham and b'sil. B'sham b'sham b'sil you can't use it. B'sil you can. My tamay the b'sil. What's the reason of b'sil? Says the Gemara, even the boy mafkle nechse. If the person wanted, he could be mafker everything he owns. V'have a ani, and then he'll be a pauper. And the halacha is v'chazilei. Then he could eat the mai, as we'll learn in a moment. That's why hashtanami lechem karina bay is considered lechem. And from here the Mepharshim tried to prove that one is allowed to make hefker on yontif. Because otherwise, how can the Gemara say that it could be mafker? But other Mepharshim say that even if you're allowed to make hefker, the only hefker you're allowed to make is hefker that nobody should have it. But a hefker that where you want somebody to take ownership of it, I'm after my portion, so somebody else should take it, that would be awesome. Kiritnan, because as we learned, Machilam Sanim Demai, we're allowed to give poor people Demai, Vasachsanya Demai, we're allowed to give soldiers. It's Machlaikis if it's Jewish soldiers, or not, if non-Jewish soldiers, or even Jewish soldiers. But Shamayonim, Oni Loyachal Demai, a poor person is not allowed to eat Demai. The Tan, Mechilin Sanin Demai, Sachsnoim Demai, Rav Huna Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Vishamayim, Ein Mechilin Sanin Demai, Vesachsnoim Demai, we can't give it to them, Vesalayim, Mechilin Sanin Demai, Vesachsnoim Demai. And the first one point out, why is the Gemara going out of her way to explain what Vishamay holds regarding Demai? So they explained that if we'll ever find a Braisa or a Mishnah that says that Aniyim or Achsnoim are also not allowed to eat the Mai, we'll know that that's going according to Beis Shammai. So Ma'aseh Sheni Rishlayim, one should not l'chatchila use, but if the evidence is acceptable. According to Mandam, that the concern is that you're being machshir by putting it next to the lulav, you make it susceptible. Hare machshira, you're not allowed to do that to Ma'aseh Sheni either. You have to protect that it should not become tamei. Mandam Mnei Mefsida, according to Mandama, that you're ruining it, Haram Efsida, by putting it next to it, you're ruining it. However, it's important to point out that the Chasam Sofer says, here we see that the Esri gets spoiled by being put next to the Lulav, which would be a concern, as we're going to learn now, to, are you allowed to wear, are you allowed to use an Esrig on Yontif that might have gotten spots by being put next to the lulav? Says the Chasam Sofer, that is the beauty of the Esrig. The beauty of the Esrig is that if it got spots by being used for a mitzvah, that makes the Esrig nicer. From Notl, if one did take such an Esrig kosher, according to Mandam that says that you shouldn't use an Esrig of Ola because it's not edible, everybody will agree that an esrog of Ma'aseh Sheni, which may be eaten, even according to a mayor, is a kosher esrog. Because esrog of all can't be used because we don't own it. And therefore, Hamani, this mandama in our mission that says that you can use an esrog of Ma'aseh Sheni, is going according to Rabbanan, who holds the Ma'aseh Sheni and Mammon Bailam. Because according to a mayor, that Ma'aseh Sheni is Mammon Gevoya, it should not be used. Also Chazazis, so we learned if a boil is on the esrig, it becomes possible. Amar Rav Chizda, Davaz Rabbein Agol Amrei, our great Rabbi taught us, Hamakom Yir Ba'azrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him, Lo Yishan Al B'Makom Echad. When is a Chazazis possible? When it's in one place. Abu Shnayim Shlosh Mekayimus, if it's in two or three places along the esrig, kosher, the esrig is kosher. Amalei Rava, so Rava says to Rav Chizda, Adi Rava, B'shnayim Shlosh Mekayimus, if it has spots in two or three places, Havalei Kamenumer, it's a spotted esrig, and it's certainly apostle. Aliyitma, a sefer, it's going in the sefer. Amayutai, if the boil is on this minority of the esrig, kosher, the esrig is kosher, says Am Rav Chizda, Dovazer Rabbein HaGadol Amroi, V'mokim Yibba Ozroi, Loishal V'mokim Echad, where the boils are in one place. That's when the esrog is kosher. Avol v'shnayim m'shlosh mekayimus, if it's in two or three places, havalei k'menumer, it's considered spotted or posel. Amarava, however, val chaytmai, and there's a machloit, is what the chaytmai means. Doesn't mean the pitim, or doesn't mean the top half of the esrog, or doesn't just mean the slanty part of on top of the Esrig, which is the way most Poskim hold, a feel of a mashu, even the smallest size boil is possible. However, the Mabit says it's only possible when it's easily visible. If it requires strong magnification or strong looking at only to find it, says the Mabit, that's not considered a spot that passes the Esrig. And we could see the different shittas of what the Chaitmei are in diagram 176 on page 59. Is it the pitim, or the other Rishonim say it's the slanty part, and Rashi says it's the top half. Nitnat famasai, if the pitim was removed, Taner of Yitzchak ben Elazar, what does that mean? Nitla buchnasai, the pestle was removed. So the three pshatim in this Gemara. Most mefarshim explain nitma pitmasai means that the pitim fell off. However, Rashi quotes a Rabbeinu Yitzchak that says that nitla pitmasai means the ukitz on the bottom of the esrog. It was completely removed, it's possible. And then Tosfos quotes a shita that nitla pitmasai is only possible if it was completely removed. But if part of the pitim fell off and there's still a piece of the pitim remaining, it's still kasha. Niklaf, if the esrog was peeled, Amar Rava, hi esrog, this esrog, the ikdle behino, that was peeled and became discolored, behino simka, it came discolored to a reddish color, like a red date, ksheira, it's a kosher esrog. Ask the Gemara, v'natnan niklaf posel, that it was peeled as posel, and it's the Gemara like kasha. Habakula, if the entire esrog was peeled, it's kosher. Habi miktsasai, if the only part of it was peeled, it's possible. That's the way Rashi learns, because that's considered a spotted esrog. Tosfos, however, quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel that learns just the opposite. He says, if it was completely peeled, it's possible. It was partially peeled. The next sugya is going to start comparing an esrog to an animal that becomes treif. And by treif, the halach is that if certain organs were removed, it's treif. But if part of the organ has remained, so it can regenerate, and it's kosher. Here too, if part of the peel is left, it's kosher because it can regenerate. Only if the entire peel is gone does the Rabbeinu Chananel say, Agma holds its possible, because then it's no longer an esrog, it's a niklaf. But if part of it is left, according to Rabbeinu Chananel's understanding, the esrog would be kosher.